I want to talk to you tonight about not a big word like omnipotence, children. This is something you should be able to understand. But this word I want to talk to you, this part of God that I want to talk to you about tonight is the word eyes. Eyes. We spend a lot of time teaching our children that God is a spirit. He is not like us. He's not human. He's a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. But the Bible, God Himself who wrote the Bible, uses words that we can understand. These are called anthropomorphisms, but it's just putting God into human terms that we can understand. While God doesn't actually have a body, He's ascribed as having hands and arms and eyes and even feet in some places. But the eyes of the Lord. Now, what does God want us to know? What does God want us to learn about Himself when He uses the word eyes to describe Himself? One of the ways is in Psalm 115. In Psalm 115, God wants to, or God proves His divinity and proves the weakness and even the complete lie that other gods purport to be. God uses the other gods, the false gods, gods that men make, and He says of them, He says, they have mouths, but they speak not. They eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. He is saying these other gods that maybe men construct out of wood, or maybe men construct in their minds, these gods that men serve, He says they have these parts of the body. They don't perform like the parts of the body are supposed to function. They do have eyes, but they can't see anything. They do have ears, but they can't hear anything. They have noses, but they can't smell anything. So what good are these gods? But He says, of our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. So He compares His power, His divinity, to the false gods. They have eyes, but they can't see. But what can God's eyes see? Or what do God's eyes do? What do we need to learn about God's eyes? First of all, we need to learn about God's eyes, just how good God's eyes are. Just how powerful that God's eyes are. Proverbs 15 tells us the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Where are God's eyes? What can God see? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees everything. He sees the evil that men do and children do and everybody does. He sees the evil that happens in places where we try to hide our evil. And God also sees the good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. He can see in front and to the side and behind. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Hebrews 4 talks about this, talks about just how intense or how deep, how penetrating the eyes of God can go. When he says in Hebrews 4, he says, for the Word of God, speaking of the living Word, Jesus Christ, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The eyes of God can even see all the way to your thoughts. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Sometimes as parents, we see something that maybe a window is broken or something like that, and we say, what happened? And we have to trust our children to tell us what happened. Well, I was throwing a ball and it went the wrong way and I broke the window, Dad. Well, they could lie to us, couldn't they, too, and said, well, I don't know what happened, Dad. Maybe a limb fell from a tree and the wind blew it and it fell through. We have to trust sometimes our children tell us the truth. But God's not like that. He doesn't depend upon us to tell Him or anybody to tell Him what happened for Him to be able to see all. He says everything is naked. Everything is open. God can see everything. You can't hide. You can't clothe yourself. You can't hide anything from God. That a little person who's still learning can't hide from God. And the big person who's gotten real smart about how to hide things can't hide from God. Nobody can hide anything from God. Everything is open and manifest and naked under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Which tells us one more thing, especially to those who are wicked in Proverbs 5. Something else you need to know about the eyes of God are that the eyes of God keep the wicked from claiming to be innocent. Their cry of innocence will fall on deaf ears because, Proverbs 5 verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth, listen to this word, He pondereth all His goings. God sees everything. He ponders all the goings of the ways of man. Listen to this. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He can't say, God, I'm innocent. I didn't do that. Because God says, yes, you did do that, because I saw you do that. He shall be holden with the cords of his own sins. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, because the ways of man are before God can see everything. Now, that should strike a chord of fear into those that know not God, and it should even strike a chord of soberness into all of us to know that everything we do, even to the thoughts and intents of the heart, everything, our thoughts, everything is before the eyes of the Lord. He can see perfectly into every way. But this same thought about God, the eyes of the Lord, His omniscience, His all-knowing capability, should also be that which provides the greatest degree of comfort to the child of God as well. Because God wants you to know something else about His eyes. Listen to what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. It says here, as God speaks to Asa through the prophet, He says Asa had sinned. He had gone down to try to get some help from the Syrians who were not God's people. And the prophet says, Asa, did you forget about the eyes of God? Don't ever forget about the eyes of God. Whether you're living for the Lord or whether you're not, you better not forget about the eyes of God. Because to the righteous, to the God, those that love God, to those that God has called and those that God has sent His Son to die for, it says, listen to this. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. The Bible says that Satan, it says to God when he was talking about Job, he says, where have you been, Satan? He says, I've been running to and fro throughout the whole earth, trying to bring iniquity and evil and hurt upon God's people. But listen, Satan is not the only one who's running to and fro throughout the whole earth. The eyes of God are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. God's eyes are not just there just to know what's going on. His eyes are not perfectly seeing every single part of life and every single part of your existence, just so He'll know what's going on. But there's even a greater purpose, or an additional purpose, in God's eyes being so perfect and being so penetrating. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong. Not just that we may say, wow, He's got great eyes. He is really amazing. He can see so many neat things. He can see everything. He wants us to be awed of that. He wants us to be awed in the fact that He can see everything, that He is that great, and His eyes are that good. But not only that, He wants to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. The eyes of the Lord are active. Nothing is hidden. In fact, it says in Amos to the wicked who are trying to hide from God, and they're going down to the very deepest part of the earth, going down into the deepest part of the sea, and they think that they have finally
gotten to a place where they have hidden from the eyes of the Lord. He cannot see them any farther. And God said, then when you get that far where you're hidden from my eyes, I'll command the serpent and he'll spring up and bite you. You can't get away, he says. He says, but to those who I love, those who I have sent my son for, those whom I have called, those whom I have loved with an everlasting love, the eyes of the Lord are active to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He also says to those people in Psalm 34, he says this. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. This, here's the thought of the eyes of the Lord are open, saying he is not shutting his eyes. He is not closing his eyes. He's not turning his head. He's not ignoring. He's not going to shun you when you come in need. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. They're observing. They are there. They are watching. They are observant. They are ready to help. And his ears are open to their cry. Ask and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. His ears are open to their cry. But the face of the Lord, which has the eyes, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Aren't you glad they are beholding the evil, but also beholding the good that we do by His grace, the good that we have been made by His perfect work of salvation, the good that we would never be. There is none good, no, not one, the good we can never hope to become outside of His perfect grace, the grace that is found even in the penetrating, perfect, deep, 2020, even better, eyes of the Lord. May God bless you as you dwell under the eyes and under the shadow of the Almighty.